Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. These are God's words. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. It says, After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power and belong to the Lord our God. So whom did he hear saying things in heaven, Ezekiel? Well, they were talking to God, but he heard a loud voice of a great multitude. So whom did he hear?
The angels.
The angels and the believers who are in glory, right? He heard a great multitude, and they're praising God, and they're praising God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged. So what are they praising God for, Victoria? What are they praising God for, John?
All his judgments.
Judgments. That's important to see how we should respond to the judgment of God. We should praise him for his judgments. There are many people who are embarrassed of the fact that God is a judge. But wickedness is real and righteousness is true. And God is right and just. And the fact that he has judgment and condemnation for all that is wicked, for every sin that has ever been committed, is part of his glory. And we should praise him for it, the way they praise him for it in glory. Because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. So whom has he judged, Victoria?
The harlot.
And he's judged her for corrupting the earth with what? Her fornication. And he has avenged on her what, Beatrice?
The blood of his servants
that were shed by her. So there are two things that the great harlot, the kingdom of Satan, is judged and judged for, and that God has avenged upon her. And this actually helps us think about, we look around the world and sometimes we see how awful things get in the nations and even in our nation, which once had much more Christian influence in it than it now does. And we say, why would God allow such corruption to come and to continue? And part of the reason is that he would be praised for judging the corruption, that he would bring an end to it. And then also we look through history and we might consider around the world and even more and more in our land, those who are persecuted for being Christians, and the blood of the saints that has been shed around the world, throughout history, around the world, even now, sometimes even in our own land, we say, why does the Lord permit this? And part of the reason is so that he may be praised for avenging it. And so we see how we are going to be praising him for the judgment of the harlot and the avenging upon the harlot of her corrupting the earth with her fornication and of her shedding the blood of his servants. And we say, ah, in order for the Lord to be glorified in this way, we must endure a time of the earth being corrupted in order for the Lord to be glorified for avenging the blood of his servants that has been shed. His servants have to endure being killed for his sake. And so for his glory, we see that we must go through such things, and we look forward to that glory. Again, they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fall down and worship God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne. Wait, who's sitting on the throne, Carissa? God. And from where does the voice come in verse 5? The throne. Pay attention now. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God. What does the voice from the throne say, Emmett?
Praise our God.
Praise our God. So there is someone who is both God and addresses the 24 elders and the four living creatures and the great multitude saying, Praise our God. How can someone be both God and have God as his God at the same time, Cassidy? Because he is God and man. It is the voice of the Lord Jesus. So, from where does Christian worship get led? From the throne of God, by the God-man who leads us in heaven and on earth in the worship of our God. Praise our God, O you his servants, those who fear him, both small and great. This is a point at which volume of praise is not a bad thing when it is the collected volume of the greatness of the multitude, not when it's pumped through, you know, ridiculously high wattage speakers so that any worshipers who happen to be elderly or have a pacemaker are literally physically assaulted and unable to worship with the people of God. And what a great wickedness that is. But here they are glorified and in glory, and there are so many and there are so loud that it is like Niagara Falls or a great thunderstorm. As the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. So they praise him for his all-powerfulness, just as they were praising him for his justice and for his vengeance earlier. And they also praise him for his mercy and grace and sanctification. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, And his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And so we don't just go through living in a corrupted world and living under persecution for the glory of God. But since God is being glorified here for his faithfulness to sanctify the bride of Christ, then one of the things that we do for the glory of the Lord is we grow in holiness as we read his word, as we pray, as we take the Lord's Supper and are fed upon Christ and nourished upon him, as we use the means of grace, as we put sin to death, and as we seek to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, like we'll hear from Jude verse 20 in the prayer meeting tomorrow night. As we pursue all of our growth in grace and holiness and sanctification, we are looking forward to the day when the Lord will be praised for having dressed his bride in that clean and fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. And there's going to be a day when we stop taking the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's Supper is for making us clean and well-dressed in the righteous acts. But once he has made us ready, once he has made his bride ready, she doesn't take the Lord's Supper anymore. She takes the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then he said to me, verse 9, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. It's a wonderful passage that will be calling us to worship and reminding us of many of the different characteristics of our God and actions of our God, for which he is worthy of all the alleluias and amens, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore drives us to patiently endure suffering and to pursue sanctification, to make good use of the means of grace, to look to him and to look forward to the day when we shall offer this worship in this assembly of glory. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this portion of your word. We thank you that the worship that we participate in on the Lord's days is led by our Lord Jesus from the throne of heaven, just as this worship that we see here in verses 1 through 9 is led by our Lord Jesus from the throne of heaven. We praise you for your righteous judgments, and we ask for patience and joy and cheerfulness, diligence and steadfastness as we live in that corrupt world which you will judge. We praise you for your vengeance for the blood of your saints. And we pray for those who are suffering and loving not their lives even unto death, that you would sustain them by faith in Christ, and that if it ever comes that we who are here worshiping you now at this table must suffer death for the glory of the Lord Jesus, that you would sustain us in that, and that you would be glorified when the day comes for your avenging the blood of your saints. We praise you for your faithfulness to keep your covenant and your promises, that the day of the marriage supper of the Lamb is coming. We praise you for your mercy and grace and your work in sanctification. We pray that you would help us to grow in doing those righteous acts that are the clothing of your bride, that you would be glorified in our sanctification. We pray, Lord, especially for this week, as we'll be taking the supper together on the Lord's Day, that you would help us to prepare, that you would make it a means of grace unto us, that you would feed us upon Christ, that you would glorify him as you use that to get us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Be glorified in your church, we pray, and help us to think and speak and live according to this portion and all of your holy word, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.